We're continuing our series. If you missed last week, I would encourage you to check out online. But we're in the book of Galatians. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get those out. It'll be on the screen if you don't. But we're in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and we're about 10 verses in. We're just getting started.
Yeah, we're inching our way through. Many rich passages in this book of Galatians.
Yeah, and the whole theme is free indeed. We believe that what Jesus said is true and it's applicable for you and me today, that you are not designed to live your life just going by, but you were designed to be free indeed. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Yes. So we want to be free indeed. So that's really what we were talking about. And as we get into it, this portion of scripture is a lot about a comeback. And it's the comeback story of Paul the Apostle.
Yeah.
He was once Saul, and now he's Paul, and it's a comeback story. How many of us love a good comeback story?
I do too. How many of you, your story is a comeback story? Ooh, come on, most of us in this room. That's one of the things I love about the Olympics. I love learning the stories of these athletes and the comeback, what they went through to get here. And I love a good comeback story. And in fact, we have a cool comeback story of our own. Our son, Titus, many of you know Titus. He's a basketball player and he's really good. I'm his mom, but I can say that, you know, like he's the best one out there, of course. He was in a game playing for his school and Nate was the coach and they were getting beat really bad. Nate was coaching really great, but they were losing really bad. And you know, how many of you sports moms out there, it's hard to keep your cool sometimes. Anybody else out there just get a little intense? I'm not going to look at the Ruick family because I know that they have sports etiquette. But we were at the game and I'm a little bit like, how many of you have seen the Blind Side movie with Sandra Bullock? Yeah, I'm hurt.
That's
so hurt. I was sitting on the sidelines and they were so far behind and I'm like trying to coach the boys, and I've never played basketball, you know, but anyways, they were down by 15 points at the half. And so at half, you got together with the other coach and the ref pulled you over. What did he say?
The ref pulled us together and said, hey guys, if it gets any worse, we'll turn the scoreboard off so that you guys won't be embarrassed. And I looked at him and I said, hey, we're coming back.
We're making a comeback.
And he looked at me like, yeah, okay.
We're making a comeback. Yeah, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe that. But I'll tell you what, those boys, they rallied. And what did they? They came back and they won.
Yes.
They won by 3 points. They made a complete comeback. And Titus scored 43 points. He had the game of his life. 43 points during that game, which is incredible. I know I'm breaking some more, but I'm a mom. I can do that. Come on, moms. We can break about our kids. 43 points. And I asked him after the game, I said, Titus, what switched in your mind? And he goes, I just decided I wasn't going to lose. I decided I wasn't going to lose. I love that attitude. And you know what I love about the comeback story? Is that when you have Jesus in your life, your story is a comeback story because God can redeem any story.
That's right.
And the life of Paul, when we look at the life of Paul, it truly is a radical comeback story. And so we're going to read a little bit about that today. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 11 through 24. It starts with this. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Now, some of you might be like, who's Cephas? That is Simon, who also known as Peter. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen. That's the power of a testimony. Yeah. They praise God because of what he had done in Paul.
Yep.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
That's right.
And with God, you can have a comeback story. Mm-hmm. Our big idea this morning is this: God can redeem your story.
That's right.
Would you say that with me? God can redeem your story. God can redeem any story. If there's anything that we can find from the story of Paul, is that no one is outside the reach of God's love,
yeah,
God's grace, God's power to set anybody free.
Let's go.
And when,
yeah,
God set Paul free, he was free indeed.
Yep.
And what this passage speaks to, in verse 1, it says this, or verse 12, it says, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Mm. What Paul is talking about is he's talking about his Jesus encounter.
Yeah.
And, you know, before Paul was known as Paul, he was known as Saul. He had his BC days, before Christ days. Anybody in here have some BC days before you Jesus got a hold of your life? And
come,
you're like,
on,
man, don't put that on a live screen. No, hey, we all have BC days. Yeah. I love what Paul Daughtry says. He says that every saint has a story and every sinner has a future.
Yeah, that's good.
Every saint has a story and every sinner has a future. Why? Because God can redeem any story.
That's right.
God can redeem your story. But Paul, before he was known as Paul, was Saul. And many of you know this story, but just to refresh all of us is, you know, Saul was not a good guy. He didn't have a good start. Saul was trying to kill Christians. In fact, it was his mission to destroy the Christian church, mm-hmm, which was known at that time as the Way. And so he was on a mission to find Christians, to put them in prison, to kill them. And in fact, he was the one that oversaw the stoning of Stephen. And Saul had some real religious mindsets. He had grown up in a wealthy family. He had the best education. He thought he knew everything. But then one day, Acts chapter 9, we read about how he was on his way to Damascus. And on the way to Damascus, a bright light appears. And that bright light is Jesus. He encounters Saul on his way to Damascus. And Saul, he was Saul at that point. Saul cries out, he says, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I am Jesus." Mm-hmm. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
Yeah.
And then Saul says, what am I to do? And so Jesus gives him instructions to go in and that his people, to go into Damascus and that his people would find him. And God works everything behind the scenes in your story. Did you know that? Because at that same moment, you know, God had already orchestrated that Ananias would find Saul. And here's the crazy thing about it, is that Ananias couldn't believe that this man Saul would actually be somebody that he could interact with, because, yeah, Saul was the one that killed Christians, mm-hmm, and he was a Christian. So he's like, "Lord, how am I supposed to, right, help this guy?" Like, couldn't believe it. How many of you have ever heard a testimony of someone finding Jesus and you just couldn't believe it?
Yeah.
God can redeem any story. And so he goes to Damascus, Ananias lays his hands on Saul, and his sight is restored. But what I love about these 3 days between when Saul encounters Jesus, and then this moment when he's prayed for, is he's physically blind, but he spiritually is being awakened.
Yeah, that's good.
Because his spiritual eyes had been closed, even though he could physically see. So when he encountered Jesus, his physical eyes were closed, but his spiritual eyes were open, and he was able to see Jesus. No doubt Saul had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the stories about Jesus, but it wasn't until he encountered Jesus that his life was transformed. And this was the moment where Saul became Paul. So no longer was Saul the guy who killed the Christians and hunted down people and tried to destroy the church. No, he went from Saul to Paul. Paul, now the church planter, now the one who was the encourager of the churches, the one who built people up for works of ministry. Mm-hmm. This is the power of God's work in your life.
Yeah.
God can redeem a story, and it all happened because he had a revelation of Jesus.
Yeah.
And our first thing that we can gather from this passage is that the revelation of Jesus transforms our hearts.
Yes, it does.
The revelation of Jesus transforms, mm-hmm, your hearts. You know, it's not enough to just hear about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can read about Jesus. Your parents grandparents, family members, they can believe in Jesus, but until you have a revelation of Jesus for yourself, that's when the transformation happens.
Right.
That's when you're transformed. And you know, this whole story is so incredible, isn't it? Wouldn't you have loved to just been there to experience and see all that was happening? Jesus revealing himself. Did you know that Jesus is still revealing himself today? In radical, miraculous ways all across the world. We have some really cool testimonies we want to share with you this morning. Pastor Nate reached out to Pastor Ray, Noah, Ray, and Linda. We're here first service. We honor them. They're incredible leaders, and they lead a ministry called Petros, which plants churches all over Africa. So you want to share the first one?
Absolutely, and I want to read it to you because I want to get it right because it's such a phenomenal story. And this happened in Western Ethiopia. This is Pastor Ray's testimony. He said, the man I met was a Muslim background believer who had become an evangelist to the Berta tribe, which is dominated by Islam. As I had dinner with him and asked him to share how he came to Christ, he said one night he was eating a plate of pasta that his wife had given him, and Jesus' face showed up in the pasta that his wife had made. And he didn't know who Jesus was, but somehow he knew this was Isa mentioned in the Quran. The vision made him so ill, he was bedridden for 3 days until he invited Isa, Jesus, to save him. He made Jesus his savior and Lord, and now he shares Jesus with the Islamic people. He asked me, and this is Pastor Ray, why Jesus is now showing up in dreams and visions and physical appearances to Muslims. When Pastor Ray said that, man, I just don't know. He said it was because Christians are so afraid of Muslims that they won't go to him. So Jesus is going in their place.
Wow.
And every case that Pastor Ray and Linda have heard about this, Jesus always tells them to go find his people, Jesus' people, the believers who explain what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible.
I love it.
Jesus is revealing himself to people and it transforms their hearts.
Yeah.
You know what I love about that is it, you know, in this story of Saul, the Christians were afraid of Saul. So Jesus appeared to Saul to reveal himself, very similar to this story. You know, another testimony that Pastor Ray shared was there was a group of hundreds of Muslims that were gathered together, and Jesus appears to them in their meeting. He just shows up. Like, we're in a meeting right now. Jesus appeared to them and said, I am Jesus. Come and follow me. And he said, go and find my followers. They will tell you what to do. So this group of Muslims, they left where they were at to find a church. They happened to find a Petros Network church. And the pastor there led them to Jesus, and the church went from a small amount to over 600 people in one day.
Come on.
Jesus is still revealing himself to people in radical, miraculous ways. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're in the room and you have not encountered Jesus for yourself or you're listening online, ask Jesus to reveal himself to you.
Come on.
Because he will. And maybe you're listening to this and you know someone that desperately needs Jesus. Ask Jesus to reveal him to your friend, to your neighbor, to your loved one. Because Jesus does it. And when he does it, it transforms lives.
Absolutely. And what's cool about what God does is not only does he transform our lives, like he redeems our story, like we're talking about, but the beautiful thing that this, what Paul teaches us is not only is he redeeming your story, but the second thing we want to point out, number two, is that before you were born, God called you. Before you were born, God knew you. He saw you. He called you. And the way that Paul writes this is really cool. In verse 15, if you go back, it says this, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, that phrase I want to highlight for you, set me apart from my mother's womb. That was not the first time Paul had heard that. If you look through back scripture, Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, and this is the part, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So Jeremiah says it. Now check this out. Isaiah 49, 1, look what he says. Listen to me, you islands. You hear this, you distant nations. Now here's what it is. You ready? Before I was born, the Lord called me. Mm-hmm. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. Some of you need to hear that this morning.
Yeah.
You are not an accident.
Amen.
You were made on purpose and for a purpose. Mm-hmm. Paul, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and then listen to what David says in Psalms 139, verse 13 through 14. He says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." I know that full well. Come on, somebody. Amen. God knows you.
Amen.
He made you.
Amen.
And this is such a powerful moment that we want to just pause and say this, because part of redeeming the story is for everyone to know that God made you, he called you, he sees you. Mm-hmm. And this is why, and this is so important that you hear this, we are pro-life. This is not a political statement. This is a biblical statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again. This is not a political statement. This is a biblical statement. We believe at conception you are born, you are alive, and that God has, he sees you and he knows you and he's called you.
Yeah.
We live in a world where we are fighting for the lives of the unborn.
Yeah.
And we believe, now here's what I want you to know. There's so many different complexities to this topic, and we don't want to shame anybody, but we do want to say very clearly that you are known and called by God who loves you.
Yeah.
And he sees you.
Amen.
And there's a story of a woman named Pam who was in the Philippines, and she was a missionary with her and her husband. Mm-hmm. And she got really sick, and she had to go get antibiotics because of it. And the dosage was very, very strong. And fortunately, she recovered. But what she didn't know is that she was pregnant during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was pregnant, she went in and talked to the doctors, and they realized that the dosage was so strong that any child that was growing inside of any belly would actually have birth defects because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no idea. And so the doctors urged her and pleaded with her that she had to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine being a young mom in the doctor's office, and they're saying, "You have to get an abortion."
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was a missionary, a Christian, and she prayed, went back to her husband, and they both felt from the Lord, there's no way that we're going to harm our baby.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens to this child, we had no idea. We believe God's going to protect him, and that when this baby's born, no matter what happens, we're going to love them as long as we have him.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby was born and grew, and you know him today as Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, became a pretty good quarterback, married Miss Universe, and is now traveling all over the world sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's why we are so passionate. One of the values we have here at Portland Christian Center is that people are the prize.
Yeah, that's right.
People are the prize. We love people. And why do we say that? Because God loves people. So he sees you,
Amen.
He knows you, and you are no accident.
Amen.
Because you are God's prize.
Amen. Amen. I love that testimony.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Powerful. Well, Paul on his journey, you know, I love in this passage because there's actually a part of the passage that hit me for the first time. I've studied Paul. I went to Bible school, but this is the first time I noticed this, is that Paul actually had a desert season. You know, we talk about God redeeming our story, that when you have a revelation of Jesus, it transforms you, and God forms you in your mother's womb. There's a plan for you. And sometimes the hardest part to accept about our story is the moments where we're hidden, or the moments that feel dry, or the seasons that feel really difficult. And Paul points this out because he says in verse 16, he says, "To reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem." Arabia is the desert. He went to the desert. And, you know, this never struck me before until we were studying this passage this week, is that Paul really had a season of preparation.
Yeah.
And you think about all the years he was Saul and all of the evil things that he did. He has this encounter with Jesus that transforms his heart. But yet there's a process that he has to go to truly walk into all that God has for him as Paul.
Yeah.
And the preparation is vital for the promotion.
Yeah.
The private preparation is so vital for you to receive the public promotion. Why? Because in that space of private preparation, that's where God prepares you.
Yeah.
There's character that's built. There's resiliency that's built. There's an attitude of dependence upon the Lord that's built. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about you trusting God with the process. But I have to be honest with you. I don't like the desert seasons. Anybody else? Like, I don't even like the desert. Like, just keep me out. Like, praise God for Portland. This feels like the promised land to me. But do you
Absolutely.
Like the desert seasons?
No. Thank you for asking me. I love Portland. I love the greenery. But yes.
We all have desert seasons.
We all
That's
do.
The truth. But here is what I want to encourage all of us with. Embrace those seasons.
Come on.
Because that's part of God redeeming your story. Because he's building character in you. He's developing you so that your character can match your call.
Yeah.
And I love this visual. How many of you know what this is? Anybody seen one of these before or used one of these before?
So,
raise your hand if you know what this is. Okay. All right. We got a good amount in here. First service, Titus was in here and I asked him, have you ever seen this, buddy? And he's like, nope. So this is a history lesson for some. But this is a camera, an older type of camera. And inside of it, you would take photos. I don't have a battery in it right now or else the battery's not working. And inside of it is a little something that looks like this. Maybe you can zoom in, camera crew, zoom in on this. Do you know what this is? Who in the room knows what this is? Okay, what is this? This is called film.
Wow.
Film. And this is a little something. This is, you would click and it would take a certain amount of photos on this film. And so then I remember as a little girl, we had cameras like this and you would take your film out once the roll was full. And you would take it to a Walgreens or a Rite Aid or a store that developed film.
Yep.
You would put it in an envelope or a bag. You'd write your name on it. And then you would go home. And you would pray and fast and intercede that all of your photos...
well, somewhere be okay.
Would be okay.
Yeah.
And you just pray that half the roll wasn't a foot or a chin or, you know, some random dog or the sky. And I can remember, how many of you remember getting the photo? You're like, whoa, I didn't have no idea we were taking pictures of that. You know, but there's a process that the film has to go through
That's
in
right.
order to be developed. So they take this film into what's called a dark room. Mm. And it's in the dark room, this hidden place where all of this film is developed. And it's actually a process it has to go through. Now what happens is if the light touches or is if the film is exposed to the light too early, this is what will happen. You mm-hmm. can see this picture up there. That's what the photo will look like. It will be overexposed. Why? Because it wasn't ready.
That's good.
It had not fully developed yet.
Yeah.
And you know, our lives, we're a lot like this film.
Yeah.
That God has, there's moments, there's a call, there's strategic things the Lord's called you to, but the process, the development that God has for you is so vital for you to be fully developed. And the problem is that most of us in our life, we want to jump into things too quick. We get the call of God or we sense God wanting us to do something and we just want to jump in before God says go.
Yeah.
And what happens is if we jump into something before God has released us to do it, we will not have the character to go the distance.
That's right.
The development and the process of us being developed is so vital because if you get exposed too early, you will not be developed into all that God has you to be.
Yeah.
Your desert seasons is a part of God redeeming your story. Why? Because he's getting the stuff out of you that doesn't need to come with you into the call that he has on you.
Yeah.
And he's developing character within you so that you can withstand the trials ahead. I think about Paul. He had no idea in this season of the desert that he was going to go through shipwrecks. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be bitten by snakes. But I guarantee it was that desert season that was preparing him to withstand with long-term obedience. It's the long road of obedience, not the short road.
Yeah.
It's that character that was being developed within him.
Yeah.
It's the preparation that is so vital. Mm-hmm. It's the private preparation before you get a public promotion.
Yeah.
So if you're in the room and you are feeling like, man, I know I have this call from God to do this, or I sense the Lord leading me to do this, but yet he hasn't released you to, be patient.
Yeah.
Wait for God's time. He's developing something in you. And we have had several moments like
Absolutely.
This, but as we're preparing, we were thinking about one specifically.
Yeah, one specifically for Mael and I. When we first started dating and talking, I don't know how many dates in, it was pretty early on. One of the things...
It was the first date.
Oh. You know...
Just to be honest. First date.
Oh my goodness, that's
he
right.
Said, you did. It was my interview date. You said,
"Oh my goodness."
He said, "Do you feel called into ministry? Do you want to have kids? All the things." First date, people. First date. First date.
Wow, wow. You know, I was on. Guys, you gotta understand. I was on the clock. The hair was coming out real fast. We had to put this on speed dial. Okay, we had to get married quickly for the photos. Okay. So we were on a crunch time, but that was really good. That was really good.
That wasn't scripted.
So
that was off script.
One of the things that we both knew is we wanted to be lead pastors, mm-hmm. and felt like someday this would happen. And so when you're waiting for that, you can get impatient. And I remember we were in Yakima at the time, and the church that we were at was Stone Church. It's one of the mm-hmm. flagship churches in. We were the youth pastors there in Washington, and a great church, great community, great people. And the lead pastor that we were serving under resigned. And during that kind of time frame, the board approached us and said, "Would you consider putting your name in to be the lead pastors here?" And we were both like, "I can't believe they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're thinking about us. We're mm-hmm. young. I don't even know if we were 30 yet."
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we were young at this time, and so we were both like, "My goodness!" And so we prayed about it, and I remember being so excited. Maybe I remember thinking, "Lord, mm-hmm. maybe this is our time. Maybe we need to jump in." And I'll never forget looking at our journal and praying about it, and the Lord so strongly. Yeah. It was kind of like a warning, said, yeah. "No, this is not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You're not ready."
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I hate that message.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're
too.
Not ready.
Yeah.
Have anybody else ever had someone tell you that? You're
yeah.
not ready?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say, "Are you kidding me? I am ready," you mm-hmm. know? And so we prayed about it and we told them no.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, that really was the grace of God.
Yeah.
Maybe the better word is the mercy of God.
Yeah. We were not ready.
Not even close.
Not even close.
And so now we look back, fast forward.
10 years ago.
10 years ago mm-hmm. to now. And we are so grateful that we're here.
Yeah.
We love PCC.
Yeah.
We love what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. God is still developing us.
Absolutely.
And
He's
we're still
developing you. That's part of the testimony. That's part of the story, is that we're never done mm-hmm. growing and developing into all that God has us to be.
Absolutely.
And that process, when the Lord said, "No, you're not ready, Nate." Just kidding. "No, my Nate Mael, you're not ready." "Well, you are not ready." That was hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then we went through this season in the next 10 years of the Lord really developing us so that we could be ready to come here.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I say, "Thank you, God."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Lord," because His timing is always perfect. I love that song that says He's an on-time God.
Yeah.
How many of you believe that to be true? He's an on-time God. You know what I love about Paul? He's in the desert. He's there for 3 years. Can you imagine the people that were interacting with him? They had no idea that this guy, Paul, was going to go write 13 books of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who you're sitting next to. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You don't know who you're sitting next to." You have no idea who you're sitting next to.
If you're married, that might be awkward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there is more. I guarantee there is more inside of you than you even know, or you're
That's
even
good.
Maybe even afraid to speak out because you sense the call of God on your life.
Yeah.
But the preparation will prepare you for the platform
Absolutely.
That God will give you, and it's for His glory.
Absolutely. And the last thing that we want you to write down, if you're taking notes, number four, is that your testimony mm-hmm. is powerful.
Yeah.
Your testimony is powerful. I can have the worship team go ahead and come on up. And how does that all fit with God redeeming your story? Is that because God redeems your story, you have a story to tell.
Amen.
You have a story to tell. Look at Paul, what he says right here in verse 23. He says, "They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith that once mm-hmm. that he once tried to destroy."
Yeah.
"And they praised God because of me." I want everyone to hear this. Your testimony should always be about giving God glory.
Amen.
Why? Because he's the one who saved you.
Yeah.
He's the one who redeemed you. He's the one who saw you before you were born. He loves you. So we always share our story to give glory to him.
Amen.
Anybody else thankful that God saved you?
Yeah.
That he's redeemed your story? That he's not done with you yet? That's why our big idea is God can redeem your story. Maybe you're here today and you need God to redeem your story.
Yeah.
And he will. And the best thing is you have a testimony. So it always, your testimony always gives glory to God. The second thing is that it always points other people to him because he can transform any heart.
That's right.
There's hope for everybody. Something that we're really passionate about at Portland Christian Center is developing people. We believe that no one is done. God is still working on every person.
Yeah.
No matter how young you are, how old you may think you are, God's not done with you. We are all on a journey. And so one of the ministries that we're passionate about starting here, and we're praying and believing we're going to start it in January, is Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what Celebrate Recovery is an amazing ministry for people that have struggled with addiction. Because we believe God can transform any story.
Amen.
There's no person that's outside the love and power of God.
Amen. 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 And if that's, you hear us talk about that, and maybe you're in here and you need a program like that, we want to link arms with you and walk with you on that journey. Maybe you're in the room and you're passionate about helping people, and God might stir in your heart to be a part of the leadership team. Would you pray about it?
Yeah.
Would you pray about joining us and helping us link arms with people? And if you're interested in that, you can talk to Pastor Rick, or you can send him an email or write it on a Connect card, because we're trying to formulate a team. Because you know what? We believe that no one was meant to do life alone.
Absolutely.
And community is important. There's transformation that happens in community.
Yeah.
And your story, I think about the amount of stories and testimonies that I've heard of what God's done. Just even sharing about Jesus revealing himself in noodles. Doesn't that build your faith? Doesn't it build your faith? It builds your faith. And I think about just different health journeys that I've been on, and I hear testimonies about how God will heal people. And what does it do? Oh, it testifies to the goodness of God, and it reminds me God is able.
Come on.
That's the power of your testimony.
Yeah.
And a testimony simply is a written or spoken record of what God has done.
Absolutely.
That's what a testimony is, a written or spoken record of what God has done. So I love this verse, Psalms 119, 111. It says this: I have inherited your testimonies forever.
Come on.
For they are the joy of my heart. Did you know that when you read scripture and you read about the testimony of how God parted the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites were able to walk across on dry land, that's a testimony. That's your inheritance as a believer, that God is able to come through in any moment. When you read about the story of Joshua on the walls of Jericho falling, that's our inheritance as believers. Why? Because we serve a God of victory. When we read about Jesus who healed the lame, and he rose Lazarus from the dead, and he healed the woman with the issue of blood, and he gave sight to the blind, and he gave hope to those around him, that's our inheritance.
Come on.
As believers.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's the testimony of who God is.
Yeah.
And that's why your testimony is so powerful. Because when you testify to the goodness of God in your life, you know what it does? It brings God glory and offers hope to other people.
Let's go.
And you might be in the room and maybe your story is that God has saved you from addiction. Maybe you're in here and the story is, man, I've been serving the Lord for 80 years faithfully. That's a testimony.
Yes, it is.
Everyone has a testimony. For the single mom in the room, you're raising kids on your own and you're not quite sure where the next meal's gonna come from or how you're gonna pay the rent, but somehow God comes through. That's a testimony.
Yeah.
For the high school student or college student who's wrestling with fear and anxiety and God shows up and brings you peace, that's a testimony. Every single person has a testimony in this room, and we're called to testify, to tell the world about how good God is.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Would you go ahead and stand to your
feet? Go ahead and stand with us. Yes, absolutely. And we just believe, though, as we were just talking, I can sense the Holy Spirit is stirring in some of your hearts this morning. So what we want to do, we always want to give every service a chance for somebody here to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
So if I could have everyone bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. And if you're a believer, would you start praying with us? Because I believe that there's a battle for souls this morning, for people that are being pulled into darkness. God wants to redeem their story this morning. And if you're here and you're listening to this, and you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Now is the time for salvation.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
So if you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? And I want to pray with you right where you are. Go ahead and hold it up high. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we had two in the first service, and we're believing for more in the second, and maybe online. Here, thank you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anybody else?
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else? That's awesome. Praise God.
Thank you.
Hey, would you repeat this prayer with me? Everybody in the congregation, let's all pray this out loud together. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Wash me and make me clean.
Wash me and make me clean.
I'm going to follow you all the days of my life.
I'm going to follow you all the days of my life.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
You are such a good God.
You're such a good God.
I'm all in with you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's give the Lord a praise for the person that raised their hand. That's so good. Amen. This next step that I want to ask you to consider, this is for everybody. Maybe you've been serving and believing in the Lord for all of your life or just maybe a couple of months or years. I want to pray for you that if Jesus has not revealed himself to you, that you would ask him to.
Yeah.
Maybe in the noodles for dinner tonight. But maybe right here that you would have an encounter with Jesus. Because what Mael said was so true. I believe this. You cannot serve God on the coattails of somebody else.
That's right.
I don't care how godly your parents are, your grandparents are, your uncles are, your brother is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You have to have your own faith and relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
And not only that, he wants to give you a revelation of himself.
That's right.
So maybe you're here this morning, you're like, man, I want to encounter Jesus that way.
Yeah.
Today's your day.
Amen.
If that's you, would you slip up your hand right where you are? I want to pray for you. You want to have a fresh encounter with Jesus, a fresh moment with him. Thank you. Those hands are up. That's awesome. Anybody else? You want a fresh encounter with Jesus. So Father, right now you see every hand as they raise their hand right now that they would encounter you, Jesus, a deeper revelation of who you are, that you're not done with them, that you're going to redeem their story, that you're going to take them to another level of grace and never another revelation of who you are, that they would feel you, Lord Jesus. Bless them, I pray, and may we encounter you in Jesus' name.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.